Hello, everyone, and welcome to Friday Food Fight, where we are defining the daily struggle to keep food safe. I am your host, Wes Christian, and each week we will be interviewing special guests from across the country who are doing amazing work in the food service industry. So sit back and enjoy this special episode brought to you by Food Handler Solutions and School Food Handler. Welcome to Food Fight Friday, where we are defining the everyday struggle to serve food safe. My name is Wes Christian, and I am CEO of Food Handler Solutions and School Food Handler. And this is a new format for us, but we're excited to be here with you. And today I've got a very special guest and a pretty interesting topic, actually, that we're going to be talking about. And first off, the topic we're going to be talking about is going to be how do you work from home? And what are some tips and tricks that you have that you can implement in your new working environment to get the most out of your day, to be successful at your job, and to stay focused, and what kind of tools we can use. So without further ado, my guest today is my co-founding partner, who is special to me in a lot of different ways. Not only is he a friend and a business partner, but he's also my dad, which is pretty cool. Today we are joined by Mr. Bart Christian, who is a nationally recognized speaker in the school nutrition industry, and we're excited to have you, man. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Wesley. I am in very casual attire today. I see sharp. I'm working from home like so many people are doing now, and I'm just found that for me to be at my best, comfort is key, and so. Now, I do have pants on, just in case anybody's
curious. That was going to be my first question. That was the first question.
But I am in my favorite sweatshirt, my favorite t-shirt, and one of my mini Life is Good hats.
Yeah, well, if I have to be honest myself, I am in a nice polo right now, but I do have comfy sweatpants on. So I feel like, you know, comfort is key. Comfort is the first tip, is make sure that you're comfortable, right?
I think that is the first key, is make sure you're comfortable, make sure you feel good. You know, for me, sometimes I know that if I've got big important calls or big important meetings that are going to be held, teleconference, or I'm even going to just be on the telephone.
Right.
I have a tendency sometimes to take a shower, put a nice shirt on, sure. Put some nice pants on, just simply because I feel more professional when I'm actually having to conduct something like that. But, you know, in this case today, I'm writing emails, I'm responding to a few quick phone calls, some questions about things that are going on with our education website.
Yeah.
And so I felt like this was appropriate attire for the things I had to do today.
Yeah. So, well, hey, let's talk about this real quick, and we'll just kind of dive into it. Since we are talking about, you know, how to work from home, and we're talking about being comfortable first and foremost, what are some other things that you can suggest to folks out there, regardless of the industry, really, but specifically in the food service industry? You know, a lot of folks are finding themselves working from home or just having to spend time at home. What are some tips that you could maybe suggest to stay motivated?
Well, you know, I've been doing the last couple of days, I've been doing a series of things just on that very topic, you know, sending out via Facebook and whatnot. And, you know, I think one of the biggest things that we have to protect is our mind.
Yeah.
And so many people are spending, and listen, I've been guilty of it too. I can't say that I'm perfect, but you know, so many people have spent so much time in front of the television watching the news with the daily clicker on the side of the screen of everything's happening, you know, as far as this virus goes. And it can be a bit overwhelming.
Sure.
And I found myself about a week and a half ago, really having a really anxiety-filled day. And when I have anxiety-filled days or something happens, I kind of ask myself one simple question. What is different from right now when I'm feeling this way between this time and the time 24 hours ago where I felt great? Mm. What was different? You know, what changed? And when I really analyze and look at it, I realize not much has changed except what I had actually been putting into my brain.
Right.
And that had a tremendous influence on me. So that would be tip number one.
Okay.
Just guard your mind.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying don't watch the news, don't read, because I do, because I think it's important to know what's going on. But in this 24-hour news cycle now, they tell you the same story every 15 minutes, every show, and you go to the next show, it's just a different talking head telling you the same story every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just encourage you, if you want to watch news, watch it once. Pick a show. I like The Five.
Yeah.
Fox, that's one of mine, because it's kind of humorous and it's funny. It's the news, but they take a kind of a humorous view of it. Lord knows today we need all that we can get. So right. That's tip number one.
Okay, great. So protecting your mind and ultimately sounds like, you know, try and limit the amount of input you're getting from the news and sources and just, you know, maybe would you say like a weekly update would be good, or maybe like a couple times a week just to kind of break that flow?
Yeah, well, you know, before this all started, I was a Sunday news guy. I had a couple of Sunday news shows that I liked to watch. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch them live because I hate commercials. Mm-hmm. So I would either watch them on the internet, on the YouTube, or I'd watch them on DVR and then skip the commercials. Mm-hmm. You know, but I found that, you know, now with what's going on now, for me to really be a good resource for my customers, mm-hmm. and be a positive resource for the people I love and those I know, I think it's important that I kind of stay up a little bit more frequently. So I would think, you know, every other day, every third day. Now, I gave everybody 2 weeks ago a challenge, a 48-hour challenge. Don't watch the news for 48 hours. Don't read the news, nothing, because I promise you, by that time, 48 hours later, things were not going to change much.
Right.
I took my own advice. I did that, and I realized that when I actually watched the news on the third day, I was right. Things hadn't changed much. Mm. And so that's my kind of like every 2 to 3 days, I think it's fine right now. You'll stay informed. Mm. If you like reading, you know, pick up, subscribe to maybe a news feed and read a story or maybe two max. But don't inundate yourself with just this barrage of negative news. And the reality of it is given what's going on right now, things are actually beginning to kind of make a turn.
Right.
But if you've been bombarding yourself with the bad news, it's hard to see the turn until it's a little bit more dramatic. Does that
right.
make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I just think of my own kind of, you know, mind and the way that I operate. It's hard to really get work done also and to be, I guess, focused in what you're trying to accomplish in a home setting. You know, so having a good I guess, positive outlook is a really important thing. Now you are a nationally recognized speaker, and I know that, you know that, but what kind of topics do you talk on, and what type of things, you know, what kind of skills do you think would help, you know, individuals working in a home environment to really be prepared for when you do go back to work?
I think that anything that builds on you, you know, I heard a guy say a long time ago that you're only as strong as the construction that you create in yourself in your job. You know, that people that work hard on their job tend to be moderately successful, but people who work hard on themselves and then translate that into working hard on their job tend to be supremely successful.
Right.
And so that's my advice. My advice is during this time, work hard on yourself. Work hard on, if there's something, you know, I've written books on communication, on dealing with people, channel change, personal wellness, you know, leadership. Those are all things that I've spoke about in a variety of different ways across the country. And those are all things that we all can use. So I encourage people that, you know, instead of if you're a food service worker and you've been in the business for 25 years, the honest truth is you probably know a great deal about child nutrition. Mm-hmm. Our food service. So, you know, study some of the newer trends going on now, but also don't neglect maybe a course that you find, and you can find tons of free things on YouTube and on TED Talks and on communication skills. We all could use help with better communication skills.
Right.
Maybe look at something in customer service. Mm-hmm. Maybe not necessarily in food service, but something that just talks about good customer service skills, handling difficulty, dealing with change, handling conflict. You know, those are all topics that would fall into, in my case, I do a lot of my work in schools. They have the professional standards kind of guidelines. All of the things I just mentioned would fall into the professional standards guidelines. The guideline doesn't say it has to be food service driven. It just has to be topic driven. And so, you know, that'd be my best advice. One of the best advice is spend as much time working on yourself during this time as you are working on anything else.
So let's talk about, you mentioned three topics that you speak on a regular basis, communication, handling change, and dealing with difficult situations.
Those are my three top topics. There are several others, but those are my three topics.
I think all three of those would apply to working at home in a home environment. You know, you're dealing with change, you're in a new environment, you're in a difficult situation, we all are, and a lot of us are having to do meetings like this and we're having to communicate in a completely new type of format. What type of tools have you been using on a regular basis? I mean, obviously we're using Zoom right now. Are there any suggestions that you have for people out there that are brand new to doing meetings in a virtual type format, whether it be how to handle yourself in an etiquette-wise manner? I've got a couple of tips for folks also, but I'd love to hear from you as well as, you know, just any suggestions you have for doing these virtual type of meetings and really doing them successfully in you know, this changing environment that you're in.
Well, I think number one is you got to have a plan. I think it's a good idea. Before you and I started today, we had a brief conversation about what we were going to talk about. Mm-hmm. We decided today was going to be a little bit more free flowing,
right?
And we've done, which is great. I mean, that's great because I think there's strength and power in that. I think have a plan. Wes, you could speak to the technical end, but the reality of it is you can do a Zoom with I'm shooting on my webcam that's on my Mac. I'm using the microphone that's built in. I'm just simply have an internet connection. So sure. They're simple to do. And I think that there's a lot of instruction out there, but mm-hmm. There's a lot of people now doing Zoom meetings and particularly when they're wanting to get groups together. I know people that are doing family reunions on Zoom. I was at church not too very long ago. I worked at the food bank on every Saturday morning and I'm talking to the guys mm-hmm. there. People have families scattered all over the country. Mm-hmm. And my friend from New York, who has 30 family members scattered across the country, they've been doing routine Thursday evening Zoom meetings.
That's cool.
Where whoever can get on, gets on. Everybody's face is on the screen. Everybody's talking. Mm-hmm. And he said, the first meeting was a bit cumbersome because his older family members sometimes didn't realize you can't talk at the same time.
Right.
But he said once they got through the first meeting, maybe the first meeting and a half, they got it down and they're working on about their fifth or sixth one in a row this week, and he says it's just a great way to communicate, touch base with people and see them face to face.
Yeah. Well, I mean, from my perspective, we do a lot of webinars and a lot of presentations specifically for our school food handler, kind of training and tracking system for professional standards. And when we're talking about kind of our Done For You program and our full platform there and the trainings that we make available to school nutrition professionals, I find that, with just a one-on-one meeting, we usually people are pretty good. But when we have, group meetings where there's five or six or, sometimes we've had group meetings as many as 15 or 20 people in an organization, especially right now, because people want their whole team to be a part of it because they got a lot of folks at home and they're, we're doing this meeting, we're doing this webinar, everyone jump on and let us know what you think about this new system we're looking into. And when we're doing those meetings, I find a lot of times people don't know how to mute their mics. And like you were talking about where they have, six or seven people on the screen and everyone's kind of talking at the same time. The one etiquette piece that I would say is either from a meeting organizer standpoint, there are ways to do this in both GoToMeetings, Zoom. There's another service if anyone's interested in a free service out there. It's join.me. Just type that into your web browser. Join.me is a free service that'll allow you to do one-on-one calls like this. You can do screen sharing and things like that. Zoom will allow you to do free for one-on-ones, but once you start getting more people in there, I think they've been limiting people to the amount of time. You can restart the call, but I think it's limited to about 45 minutes unless you go into a paid plan. So there are a couple of free options out there if you're interested in those. But from an organizer standpoint, if you're having meetings with your team, first thing I would recommend is go ahead and mute everyone's mic before you come in. You can choose to unmute people one by one and have people, usually in certain formats, especially in Zoom. If you guys are watching this, we're actually just broadcasting our Zoom conversation right now. So with Zoom, it actually puts a green outline around the individual who's talking at the time. So you can see who's trying to talk or who is talking, and you can unmute their mic and bring them into the conversation so everyone else in the meeting can hear what they have to say. Or you can ask people specific questions, and you can actually ask them to engage with you and then just pick each individual person out one by one just to make it easier for everyone that's on the call if you're doing a big group meeting to be able to understand and hear clearly what you have to say and what everyone else's feedback on a specific topic is. from the person's standpoint, when you're logging into a meeting, maybe your organizer doesn't know to go ahead and mute it. So just mute it yourself. You know, a lot of times we get feedback in the background. We've got, since we're working from home, I know my 19-month-old is running around all the time, screaming and yelling and making noise. So, you know, a lot of times you don't have control over those exterior inputs of sound. So muting, you know, your call is just a nice courteous thing to do when you're joining in on those group meetings.
Missed that 19 month old, by the way.
Well, he misses you too, and he is he's just as crazy as he always has been.
So no, that's all good advice. And you asked me a question earlier, if I can kind of go backwards a little bit.
Yeah.
About some tips for people that are wanting to learn at home.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think that it's very important for people to understand that, you know, a lot of times people think that, you know, you put something on the computer, you put a CD in, or you put a set of headphones in your ears,
yeah.
You know, and you have to sit there. Mm. You have to listen. You have to pay. You know, you can't be comfortable. You know, it's got to be a learning environment that is a learning environment. Well, the reality of it is, you know, this day and age with podcasts and things like that,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to sit down and study it. You just have to let it play. I know a lot of times if I'm wanting to learn something, I'll put something on my computer and just let it play while I'm working doing something else.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a great suggestion. I do that all the time. I mean, I was actually, talking about the 19-month-old, here's a story for you. So in the mornings, I usually do morning time with my 19-month-old. Now that, you know, everything's at home and, you know, I get up and I wake him up in the mornings. And I had, just what you're talking about, I had a podcast going in one ear that I didn't want to miss. I wanted to spend time with my son, but it was an early morning podcast and it was on a topic I was extremely interested in. It was happening live and I just wanted the information. So I kept it going in my ear and, you know, I get him up, I change his diaper and do that whole nine and feed him breakfast. And then as soon as my wife gets up, she comes in and she's like, you do realize that you put the sleeping diaper back on the baby. You just put a sleeping diaper on him. What happened? And I was like, I was completely distracted by this amazing podcast I was listening to that I wasn't even paying attention to what type of diaper I was putting on the baby. So just make sure you're paying attention also when you're listening to those in the background. You're not paying more attention to the podcast than you are at what you're doing.
They lost me.
No, I lost you. I apologize. So you must have cut out there for a second. We got you back though. I see you here.
So I have no idea where I got cut out, where I cut off at, but
No worries. I was just talking about a funny story with me and Clayton, where I accidentally I was listening.
Oh,
I was
can tell all kind of funny stories about babies, can't we?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, no, we. But yeah. Anyways, so
that was what I was getting at. What I was getting at, what I was saying was, you don't have to be formal,
right?
To learn, you can learn in any environment as long as you take advantage of the information. You can be dressed well, but you know, the best thing about this is there's so many tools you can absorb information. Take advantage of them and take advantage of them while you don't, you know, replace that negative input with that learning input, that positive input. You know, it doesn't mean you don't listen to anything, you just replace it.
Right.
And that was what I was going to, that's going to be my topic for my video I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm putting on Facebook, it's going to be double whammy.
Because
I realized that today, I had a couple of people call me and say, Bart, you've been posting videos across the world. But they're showing up, you've done it, you know, the same video 2 times in a row, 2 days in a row.
Right.
So what I realized was that my assistant, who is actually my daughter, who you happen to know very well.
Uh-huh. Keeping it in the family.
Yeah. She was posting across groups, and so was I.
Yeah.
So my thing tomorrow is going to be double whammy. It's going to be, you know, is it possible to get too much of a good thing?
Mm.
And the reality of it is yes, it is. But it is not too.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to encourage people this weekend to go back and revisit that information that was so powerful to them before.
Yeah.
That was so impacted them. And go back and revisit it.
Yeah.
Go revisit it again. Maybe listen to that podcast you listened to a month, 6 weeks, 2 weeks, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
That you said, God, that just, I remember, that really made an impact on me. Go back and listen to it again.
Yeah.
Go back and read that favorite book or that, listen to that course you like again. Revisit it again, because sometimes, you know, I heard a guy tell me one time, he said, you know, it's interesting how you read the book of Proverbs one time and you get stuff out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go back and read it again, you go, wow, how did I miss that?
Yeah.
And I believe it's because, you know, God, universe, whatever you want to call it, you know, what I typically call it God, but I believe we get spoken to in different ways at different times based on what's in, based on our attitude, what's in our mind, and where we are. And so going back and hearing something twice, reading something twice or three or four times, sometimes you may find yourself coming away with a completely different understanding, augmented on top of your previous understanding, that just makes you stronger in that particular topic.
Yeah. It's actually interesting because, I mean, there's a few books that I've read multiple times, one of which that comes to mind on a couple of different scenarios is a book by Gary Keller, and it's The One Thing. And
I've read it several times.
Yeah, my copy has actually got different color highlighters on pages for each time that I've gone through it. And it's interesting because exactly what you're talking about, you know, what I found in, I guess, the yellow version of the highlighter read through is completely different than the blue version of the highlighter read through. You know, it's just whatever, you know, life changes and you're in a different state of mind right now than you were 6 months ago, 12 months ago, 24 months ago, you know, and backwards. So, you know, the last time you read it, you are in a completely new stage of life at this point in time, and you're going to find different things that are important to you in those chapters.
I have several books just like that.
Yeah.
With multicolor highlights.
Yeah.
I've done exactly. I've got one book I think in particular is called The Tongue by a guy named Charles Capps, and it's about positive self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how do you talk to yourself, what kind of conversations you have with yourself.
Right.
I've got red, yellow, pink, blue, orange. I mean, I've got, you know, it's crazy. It's great.
So this is an interesting, we're getting on in kind of foreign territory. I'm going to throw you a curveball. You ready for it?
Yep.
Okay. So with working from home, and you've got a lot of experience with this, what are some tips? Because a lot of us find ourselves spending a lot of extra new time with our spouse, with our children. How do you have a successful relationship and a successful home life when you're spending now a lot of additional time? You know, are you blocking time out? Are you carving time to just give and dedicate to them? How do you manage that? Because I know, you know, you and mom and, you know, have been married for what, 6,000 something years now or whatever it is. So how have you successfully done that for so long and work from home, you know, a lot of that? Are you there? Uh-oh, I might have lost him. We got some freezing on your end, my man. See if he'll come back here. Bring him back, bring it back. You're still on the call. You might be able to hear me. You might not. We're admitting him. Bring it back, bring it back. Throwing you a fishing line. We're reeling you back in.
Got me back.
Got him back. All right.
Question you asked me, because that was a good one.
Okay.
You know, I think that in, you know, my particular case, I mean, we're empty nesters. You know, you've got a successful career going, and you live in California. My daughter, same thing. You know, she's living in Virginia. So we're just us. Mm-hmm. And I think with us, because I've worked at home for so long, it's been a little bit easier transition. I will say this, that I found myself not respecting my wife's space early on. And not really realizing I was doing that because I'm a pacer. So when I'm talking on the phone with people, I'll put my headset in, I'll put my phone in my pocket, and I will walk up and down the halls of the house.
Yeah.
And while I'm talking. Well, when I was working, you know, I didn't do that much. Now virtually everything is on the telephone.
Yeah.
I'm handling, you know, anywhere from on the low side, 20, on the high side, 100 phone calls a day from people with asking questions between my staff and the 700 schools we work directly with, and you know, all that stuff. So what I found myself was doing a lot more of it. So when my wife was trying to read or have a little time or do her office work because she handles some of our work too. I was disturbing her constantly.
Right.
So she very sweetly, very politely told me to stay on my end of the house. And so what I did is like I came up with a different route to do my pacing. I'll literally walk out the front door and walk around in the yard sometimes when I do, because that's when I do my best thinking is when I'm walking. As far as a household with children,
mm-hmm.
I think well, let me back up 1 minute. Well, this applies to a household with children. I'd say it's very important that your spouse respect your space mm-hmm. if you're working from home. And if you're both working from home, then you almost got to take shifts. Mm-hmm. You know, especially if you got small, if you got a 10, 11, 12-year-old, I mean, you can tell them to go kind of do their own thing out in the yard, and you can kind of give them direction. In your case, you can't do that.
Right.
So if you got a small child, you have to shift it. You know, hey, you help me in the mornings until 12, and then, you know, I'll flip-flop with you. If only one spouse is working,
mm-hmm.
then I think the other spouse has to kind of almost take a deep breath and kind of agree that, well, I understand that I'm going to have to pick up a little bit more load than normal because
right.
he's got or she's got to get their thing done.
Right.
So, but the, but I think respecting space is so important. And my wife and I, excuse me, no COVID. My wife and I do, you know, we do a lot of time out together. Now, I haven't been much of a television watcher generally, but what we found ourselves doing is making a little bit bigger deal about dinner,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we sit down together, make sure that we're sitting down and watching a program that we both like
mm-hmm.
and that we enjoy. We're trying to stay on the lighter side of things, you know, mm-hmm. watching funny or maybe, you know, maybe some action movies that are kind of funny too, because, you know, you watch Avengers or Mission Impossible, but it's,
right.
it's all good. And we're watching again, but it's, you know, it's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
So those are things. I think respect space, allocate time, and be sure that you're being sensitive because, you know, with what's going on, there's a lot of stress going on in your life, my life, my wife's life, your wife's life.
Sure.
You know, that we may be not sensitive of, and it can be easy for us to be frustrated in ourselves
mm-hmm.
and translate that frustration to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it really becomes important. You understand that the outcome you want to have.
Mm-hmm.
So many people, you know, we can't control the events. We can't control the things that went wrong during the day.
Mm-hmm.
We can't really control the outcome. We can influence it, absolutely control how we respond.
Right.
And, you know, if I've had a bad day and she's stressed out about something with her mom or something she heard or whatever, and I walk out storming around, I'm not going to have the outcome I want. Just have a good evening.
Right.
So
right.
It's a lot about give and take. It's a lot about listening. It's a lot about understanding and, you know, and giving people the space they need. I mean, that's a long-winded answer, but that's kind of it.
No, I agree with you. I think that, you know, we do the same thing from our end. I mean, we, you know, carve out time. You know, I call it time blocking, where, you know, I'll block out time for a specific task, whether it's blocking out a little bit of time for work. And then I block out time for spending with my son. I block out time with spending with just my wife. And we do ours in the evening, obviously, because, you know, the baby's the baby, and he doesn't understand time blocking right now.
No respecter of time.
No respecter of time. So when he wants something, he wants it. You know, my wife and I do puzzles. And we've got one right now where I promise you they sent us a puzzle that is missing a piece. We have looked for this piece.
That.
And I cannot find it. I don't know if the baby ate it or the dog ate it or they just didn't send it to us. That's what we're convinced of. So we're one piece short. But we do puzzles. And that's, you know, we spend time, we sit and we talk and we cook dinner together. And so I think that quality time is really important. But I also really liked what you said about, you know, keeping your attitude right in kind of the first part of our conversation, because I've heard you say this. I believe it was you that said this. I'm pretty sure it was you. But you've talked about how in our work environments specifically, you know, we are like a raindrop and I believe it's like a pond, right? And you know, a raindrop hits and it ripples out and it affects the people around them. And when you don't have when your pond is your house right now and you can't leave your house, the only people that you're affecting with a negative attitude are the people that you're locked in your house with. And so going back to, you know, what do you want the end result to be? It really boils down to controlling your attitude, like you started off saying in the beginning, and making sure that you have your attitude the best it can possibly be so that you bring the best to the people that ultimately you love and you're going to be seeing a lot of in the future after this is all over.
And mix it up.
Yeah.
Mix things up. You know, we got up, you know, we're in Arizona, so we have the stay in place orders, but we've got some liberality about it. I mean, we can get out and go for walks. We can get out and go. There's, the parks are still open. You just are encouraged to, you know, maintain social distancing. You know, I went and played golf with a good friend of mine not too very long ago. We're in two separate carts, you know, because that's the way they wanted us to do it.
Right.
But, and I took my wife with me, and he took his wife with her.
Yeah.
So they rode along with us, something that they neither one had ever done. You know,
that's fun.
So, you know, there's things you can do that look out of the ordinary. And I'm in the process of getting a bicycle fixed for my wife. She wants to start riding the bike with me.
Great.
You know, that's great. You know, things that we had never done before together, we've discovered together. And I think that's an opportunity that a lot of us have. I mean, yes, we're all kind of hunkered down, but we're hunkered down for the most part people we love.
Right.
And it's a great opportunity to get to know each other maybe a little bit better and discover some new things about one another that you didn't know. I've been married 35 years, and I've discovered two or three things about my wife in the last couple of weeks that I guess I knew all the time, but I kind of filed them away.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's it. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Well, we've gone a couple of minutes over what we would like to. We'd like to keep this a 30-minute or ish format, but in closing, I know that we're going to be talking about a really cool topic in our next Friday Food Fight, and it's going to be in regard to some standard operating procedures, specifically for school nutrition operatives and food service workers that are still out in the field, that are not stuck at home, and are on the front line serving food to kids. And I know that you've been the leading developer in pretty much all of those. Would you mind giving maybe just like a quick 30-second blurb about what we're going to be talking about in our next episode?
Well, we're going to share some things that are going to talk about. Some of the things that are going on in schools in this new environment that they're working in. That's one thing. Some education tools that are homebound, can take advantage of right now. Some things that are free that we're making available. And also some resources that we're going to tell you about from other places. And then throwing a couple things about maybe how to take care of a face mask, how to make a face mask, you know, those kind of things. So we can just be, you know, some proactive tools that some are out there, most are not. And we've hopefully been able to develop things that can help people with this completely new way that they've been doing things for the last, I guess we're pushing a month now.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. Well, I'm excited to talk about it. And we're going to be doing that Fridays at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. So if anyone's interested, tune into our YouTube channel or our Facebook pages, and that is Food Handler Solutions Facebook page or School Food Handler. Just search for those or look for the Food Handler Solutions YouTube page, and you can find links to all of these different resources and everything on there, and we will see you on the next episode. So
it's
thanks.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. That's it. And I promise, with this being the first episode, any problems that you saw in this episode, we will have them fixed by the next episode. Scouts Honor.
Or else.
Or we'll just keep doing it, but we'll figure it out eventually. So,
God bless you all.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I'm Wes Christian, and this has been Bart Christian, and it's been a pleasure seeing you. See you next time. Take care.